To speak of passing diversions, how did you take Peter?
Peter who?
Peter Quilp, who was here this evening. He was in a dream. And now he is simply unhappy and bewildered.
I simply don't know what you're talking about. There was never anything between me and Peter.
Wasn't there? He thought so. He came back this evening to talk to me about it.
But this is ridiculous. I never gave Peter any reason to suppose I cared for him. I saw that he was lonely. I took him to concerts. But then, as he came to make more acquaintances, I found him less interesting and rather conceited. But why should we talk about Peter? All that matters is that you think you want Lavinia. And if that's the sort of person you are, well, you'd better have her.
It's not like that. It's not that I'm in love with Lavinia. If I have ever been in love, and I think that I have never been in love with anyone but you, and perhaps I still am.
But if you are not in love, and never have been in love with Lavinia, what is it that you want?
I am not sure. The one thing of which I am relatively certain is that only since this morning I have met myself as a middle-aged man beginning to know what it is to feel old.
Edward, please believe that whatever happens I shall not loathe you. I shall only feel sorry for you. It is only myself I'm in danger of hating. But what will your life be? Can you be happy with Lavinia?
No. Not happy. I see that my life was determined long ago, and that the struggle to escape from it is only a make-believe, a pretense that what is not, or could be changed. The self that can say, I want this, or want that, he has to come to terms in the end with the obstinate, the tougher self, and who in some men may be the guardian. But in men like me, the dull, the implacable, the indomitable spirit of mediocrity. The willing self can contrive the disaster of this unwilling partnership, but can only flourish in submission to the rule of the stronger partner.
I'm not sure, Edward, that I understand you. And yet I understand as I never did before. I looked at your face, and I thought that I knew and loved every contour. And as I looked, it withered, as if I'd unwrapped a mummy. I listened to your voice that had always thrilled me, and it became another voice. No, not a voice. What I heard was only the noise of an insect. Dry, endless, meaningless, inhuman. I looked and listened for your heart, your blood, and saw only a beetle the size of a man, with nothing more inside it than what comes out when you tread on a beetle.
Perhaps that's what I am.
The man I saw before, he was only a projection of something that I desperately wanted to exist. It must happen somewhere, but what and where is it? Edward, I see that I was making use of you, and I ask you to forgive me.
You ask me to forgive you?
Yes, for two things. First...
Oh, damn the telephone. I suppose I'd better answer it.
Yes, better answer it.
Hello? Oh, Julia, what is it now? Your spectacles again. But have you looked in your bag? Well, don't snap my head off. You're sure? In the kitchen? Oh, very well. Hold on if you like. I'll look for them.
Yes, you look for them. I shall never go into your kitchen again.
She was right for once.
She is always right.
There's, still some champagne. Would you drink a final glass with me?
What should we drink to?
Whom shall we drink to?
To the guardians.
To the guardians?
It was you who spoke of guardians. It may be that even Julia is a guardian. Perhaps she is my guardian. Give me the spectacles. Good night, Edward.
Good night, Celia.